Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that, but whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
All right, get your head right. It is a Monday. It is Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Happy to be here in a pretty damn good mood for a Monday morning, especially after, even after, you know, watching a pretty heartbreaking game on Saturday night. But it's good to be here with my friends, and it's really good to welcome back to the show the great Paul Reindl. Welcome back, buddy.
What is going on, guys?
Feeling good, man. Paulie is back. He had his gallbladder taken out last week, kind of emergency style.
Oh, yeah.
They said it was one of the more infected gallbladders they'd ever seen. Now, I have a question for you, Paulie, before we get to that.
I don't have pictures.
I don't want to see them. The last thing in the world I want to see is that disgusting infected gallbladder. Somebody tweeted a picture of one while you were gone. I almost threw up.
Oh, God.
I don't have the stomach for it, and I'm fine admitting that. Let me introduce the cast and crew. So I'm Woodsy. I'm half of Ben and Woods. Ben will be here shortly. Usually gets here about 5:30 every day. To my right, our assistant producer, The Hammer. The Hammer, good morning.
What's up, dude?
How are you? Space Jam shirt today, huh?
Yeah, the Michael Jordan one.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. We'll get to that, I'm sure, at some point as well. And then to your right, the aforementioned executive producer of the Ben and Woods Show, Paul Reindl. And it is good to have Paulie back. You know what, man? Thomas did a great job. Adam did a great job filling in. But it's like when I was on vacation, the shows were good. You know, I listened to some, but there's something to be said about having everybody back in the room. Like, you know, if the Beatles, if George Harrison got sick one night and couldn't play, they could probably find somebody that could fill in adequately.
Right.
And it's good. It comes out. It sounds like the Beatles, you know, or when a band gets a new lead singer that sounds a lot like the old one. Yeah, that's Stone Temple Pilots, I guess. Okay. All right, I'm in. Have a few beers. Sounds the same. Something special about us all being back in the same room together. So I know I feel a lot better. But again, thanks to Thomas and thanks to Adam and everybody that filled in and picked up the slack last week with Paulie out. It is hard. It is difficult to come into a new show, kind of learn everybody's, you know, mannerisms, learn what the direction of the show is. So it was great. What was I going to ask you,
Paulie? I had no preparation for being out. It was completely unexpected.
Oh, yeah, completely.
9:30, 10 o'clock on Monday night, I'm calling Adam, be like, I'm going to the emergency room.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm in the worst pain I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to say, so that's why I'm in a good mood. I was excited to get up and come into work this morning. I had a great weekend. Went to Mexico for my first time ever. And I wanted to, real quick, say congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Matthew Cordero.
Yeah.
Matty is a guy I play ball with and have for years. He's a lot younger than me, but he's an old soul. And Matty is just I love him like a brother, like flesh and blood. And he married his longtime girlfriend Sasha over the weekend in Mexico. It was stunning. It was
doesn't sound fun at all.
It was incredible. Now my wife, not last minute, but decided she didn't want to go. She didn't want to make the trek. She just wasn't feeling up to it, which is totally understandable. What she's been through the last couple of weeks. So she said, "Go with Bogsy." my friend Steve Boggs, who, and that's always a dangerous proposition, but actually we did great. We got home on time the next day, got home early, in fact, on Saturday.
How was getting back? How was that line?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was about half an hour. Half an hour, 40 minutes to stand there and kind of wait. Now, I mean, we had the shakes a little bit. It got a little rough at the wedding the day before. When there's an open bar and when you have kind of a night off, you know, of being a dad and a husband, you're away with your buddy.
You got to go nuts.
You don't have a night off, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you have a night to go out and hang with your buddies. It got a little out of hand. I mean, and not too bad. I mean, we were home, passed out by midnight.
See, that's not out of hand then.
Right. At all. Even though we started at like 4:30. I mean, still good, solid.
I'll give it to you. That's well behaved.
7.5 hours of boozing at an open bar. We did a lot of tequila shots. I hate tequila. I really do.
Doesn't sound like
it. It's never agreed with me, but I'll tell you what, Hammer. The thing about tequila, you do one, next one's a lot easier. The third one's a lot easier after that. Then the seventh and eighth, no problem whatsoever. Just goes down smooth. Was chasing those with a drink called the Paloma, which was tequila and squirt. It's a big player down there. So we killed that. But it was beautiful, man. I had a preconceived notion about Mexico and Tijuana and everything down there. I had a blast. An unbelievable great time. And I thought to myself as I was we took an Uber from the border down to Valle de la Guadalupe, which is like the wine country in Mexico. And we're riding down the coast. I'm seeing these like huge condos. And of course, my brain starts working. I'm like, you know, these condos are like dirt cheap. Like, I could get a place for like the weekend and me and the family could go down and explore. That's how my mind works. Everywhere I go, I think is the greatest place. And I start picturing myself like, it'd be nice to have a little second home, little weekend.
Peoria, Arizona, not that bad.
It's not that bad out here, man. I'm telling you. So it was great, but congratulations.
Have you ever been to Barstow?
I can see myself settling Vegas, down. Yeah. But... Hey, have you guys ever been to Prim, Nevada? I could see myself hanging out
in
Prim.
Hey, don't get started on Prim.
Oh, my God. Prim is...
We had a pit stop in Bakersfield, and let me tell you.
Prim is maybe the worst place on the planet. That is like my biggest... If you wind up in Prim, Nevada, at any point in your life, and if you're there for more than 15 minutes... your life's over. You've done it wrong.
Because that place is only meant for one thing and one thing only, is that giant gas station.
Yes.
If you're not getting gas in Prim, you got to go.
You got to go. If you're hanging out, if you spend the night at a hotel in Prim.
Go to that casino.
Like, I know for a fact you've got drugs on your person. I know you do. If I see you in Prim gambling at a table, I know you're high on crystal meth. I'm guessing.
Like a cop just goes to that little gas station and just waits and just like, who should I go after? Goes into the casino, boom, gets the job done.
You should arrest anybody that checks into the hotel there in Prim. That's the worst place on the planet. And I've been to Gary, Indiana, and Prim is more depressing and more sad. But man, it was a great weekend. It really was. It was so fun to hang with friends and, you know, get back in no trouble and. But it was beautiful, man. It was, you know, look, there's some really kind of gnarly scenes down there for sure. But for my first time, I had a blast. The people were incredible. They were really, really lovely people. And it was great. How was your weekend, Hammer?
I went to a wedding, too. Yeah.
Did you?
Not in Mexico, Rancho Bernardo.
Okay.
Yeah, it was different. It was one of these weddings where the ceremony started at 5, and it was only like 20 minutes, which was fantastic.
Perfect.
But the cocktail hour was... for 2 hours until like 7:30, and then we didn't eat till 9:45.
That's the thing, man. No, there's no rush.
I wish there would have been, though.
I'm with you.
And maybe that was me because it was a Middle Eastern wedding. I'd never been to one of these before, so I didn't understand the culture. I'm sure there's a different dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
But the weddings that I'm used to, it's, you know, it's a quick, easy, to the punch, and then let's get on and get out of here.
Yep.
So this wedding wasn't supposed to end till 2, and me and my mom, like, I had work the next day, we dipped out, like, pretty easy, I think, at 11 o'clock.
That's still a long,
6 hours
day,
to be
man.
At a
yep.
place. So we didn't really feel too bad. I said hello and goodbye to the groom and bride.
I got
to
work.
Yeah.
I got to work.
I got to go.
That's it. I got to work. Paulie, what did you do? Just rest all weekend?
Yeah, I got home from the hospital. My week, it was a blur. It was an absolute blur last week. I didn't know what day it was. I was medicated.
Yeah.
For a good amount of it.
Sure.
Monday night, going to the ER, surgery Tuesday morning, stayed Tuesday night, stayed Wednesday night, got out of there around 2 o'clock on Thursday. Megan, my girlfriend, her mom was watching all the dogs while this was all happening. I said, I need one night alone without dogs.
Yes.
So Megan came over. We stayed at my house dog-free, which is amazing. If you have three dogs who love to jump up on you. Yeah. I was like, they're going to jump on my stomach. I can't feel my stomach.
Right.
Can't have this. So we had a nice night just relaxing there. And then Friday through the weekend, I spent the night or the weekend up at her place. She's got the adjustable bed.
Yeah, like a hospital bed.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's great.
It massages you, had the feet up. I didn't move all weekend.
That's good. That's what you need. You need to... You know, you need to not push yourself this week as well. You come do the show, you get the hell out of here, go home and rest. Don't be a hero. Everybody tries to be. I never try to be a hero. If the doctor says, hey, you need to rest, no problem.
Yeah,
I'm on it.
I'm pretty much on the shelf for about a month.
Good. That's how it should be.
It's a long, slow recovery process. You don't realize, I noticed this last week, you don't realize how much your core plays a factor in your day-to-day.
Everything you do.
Tying your shoes.
Yep.
That's core muscles.
Yep.
Like, to not have, I mean, I got four large incisions.
He showed me this morning, I almost threw up. I did. There's a reaction that I have in the area of my body hammer. I don't know if you know this about me, but you know the area they call the taint. Mine gets a little swollen.
That.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, you're just grabbing it.
It gets swollen. When he showed it to me, it swells. I'm not kidding. It's a real thing, and I get it.
It's not that bad.
I've had mine tingle before, but it hasn't swelled.
Mine, like, swells up.
Let's see
up.
What happens, Hammer.
Oh, God, don't do it.
Don't show.
Okay. Yeah, dude. It's so...
I can't do the whole surgery stuff. Especially when I watch, like, one of my favorite shows. It'll be just a great, fantastic, lighthearted show. Then someone has to go get surgery. I'm like, no.
That's it for
me. Please don't show it. Please don't show it. And then all of a sudden, they want to get into the nice detail. I'm like, oh. I had to stop watching Grey's Anatomy for that very reason.
See, my girlfriend's the complete opposite. She watches.
For it.
She watches Dr. Pimple Popper.
That's so
epic. And I walk in, I'm like,
God, that's so disgusting.
What is wrong with you?
All right, guys. Well, the printer is broken here at the station.
Yes.
That's problem number one on a Monday morning.
We sure have more than one printer.
You have the rundown on your computer, don't you?
Nope.
No, of course you don't.
Where would I find that?
The same link that I email every single day.
In the email. All right, let me see.
But we are getting ready for the spotlight.
Just hang on. Stealing my thunder.
Rundown. I'm prepared.
Rundown. If you were prepared, I'd have a rundown in front of me. I feel
that's
like.
That's not true.
Yeah. All right. Oh, okay. Here we go. It's right here in front of me on my computer screen. I like this a little bit better. Save some paper. So on Friday, we had Matt Barnes, former NBA. I'd say, would you say star?
He's a star.
He's a champion.
Yeah, he's a champion.
He's well-known.
Yeah, very well-known NBA player.
Had a good career.
He went viral a lot.
He was really great on our show on Friday. So we're going to replay that for you next. He's got a new podcast coming out called All the Smoke. It's not about barbecue. It's about the NBA. We're going to play that for you next. It's our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight. Happy Monday. Welcome back, Paulie. And somebody fix the GD printer ASAP. Having flashbacks, my weekend in Mexico at a wedding. You have to play this at a wedding.
Oh yeah!
And they rolled out this giant. We're dancing, dancing so hard on the dance floor. They roll out this giant tray that was like 40, like a row of 40, then a row of 40 down, a row of 40 across, and then filled in the middle with shots. And then that's how it was going, shot, 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 shot. And everyone's jumping and dancing and, like, pounding shots.
Oh, my God.
Bro, it was insane. It was insane. But a lot of fun. And just realized, hey, I can't do that a lot. That's like a once, twice a year thing now because Saturday morning waking up, it was a little headachey, a little nausea. But got some food in me, cup of coffee. Was good to go and felt great and feel fantastic.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth.
So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today, good to be back with the whole crew. Paulie is back. Ben's on his way in right now. We'll play this for you here. Had Matt Barnes on our show on Friday, former NBA player, former champion, and he's got a new podcast out he wanted to promote, so we wanted to take that opportunity as he wanted to promote his new podcast to talk to him just about everything going on in the NBA right now. Here it is, our 97.3 The Fan Spotlight with Matt Barnes.
We got Matt Barnes, NBA veteran, with us on the phone right now on 97.3 The Fan. Matt, it's good to have you on with Ben and Woods in San Diego this morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fellas. Thanks for having me. I'm well.
So did you ever think that after your NBA career that this would be the direction that you go, kind of come over to the dark side with us on the media side of things?
I knew it was something, you know, I would be interested in, you know, being able to do some work at Fox and ESPN, kind of open a few doors. And, you know, Jack and I just were talking one day, like, you know, it's fun what we're doing, but it's pretty censored. And we've kind of been always kind of had guys that have kind of been filterless to an extent.
I can relate.
You know, we thought it'd be a good idea to try to do a show, and we started talking about it, and, you know, I started putting some things together, and then lo and behold, you know, Showtime came around before we had shot anything and offered us a deal, and now we're here today.
That's pretty incredible. Now, have you, so when you know, guys you played with, guys you played against, so they see that you're going to be doing a show on Showtime called All the Smoke. Are you getting text messages like, yo, no mention of this or that, or we don't want to talk about that? I just want to preemptively tell you.
No, I mean, I think, you know, everyone I have a relationship with is still playing professional sports, knows what I'm about. You know, I'm honest, I'm forthcoming, and I really feel like I can critique or, you know, point something out without being disrespectful.
Yeah.
I think as a former player, you know, guys kind of get bothered. We realize we make mistakes and do things wrong, but we really feel like sometimes, you know, people go overboard on the disrespect part, not really knowing how much it takes to be in our shoes. So like I said, I think there's a fine line between being able to critique and positive reinforcement without disrespecting someone. And I've always kind of been that way when I was a teammate and a player. So, you know, guys know out now, and you know, all from all aspects, you know, guys want to come on the show, which I think is great.
Talking to Matt Barnes here with us on Ben and Woods. And Matt, it's interesting, we're talking about unfiltered NBA commentary this month in particular, because the top story, you know, by far in the NBA and beyond, has been this China controversy with the Daryl Morey tweet, and then responses by people like LeBron James, and LeBron getting hit pretty hard because people are saying he's being too filtered, he's being too careful of the business relationships involved. What's your kind of take as you're watching and observing what's been going on these last couple of weeks?
I just think it's kind of a poorly timed tweet. With that being said, I don't think what he said was wrong. You know what I mean? But I also understand the business side of it, and you never really want to, you know, put money in front of morals and what we stand for and, you know, all the great things that, you know, this country is about. But at the same time, I don't think the common fan and the common person understand the money that is involved with this China NBA situation. So, you know, to me, it's a no-win situation when athletes talk about it, or NBA players in particular, because, you know, I think what makes our country great is the freedom of speech. And I think what makes the NBA great is, you know, how forthcoming and progressive we've always been, being able to use our platforms and speak on anything that we really feel like we're speaking on. But at the same time, you know, when you speak that way comes consequences. And I think, you know, Daryl Morey found that out the hard way. And I think it's almost moved beyond basketball. You know, I think this ties into the political talks and the trade talks and the back and forth between the leaders of our country. So hopefully, you know, something good will come out of it, because at the end of the day, I know the basketball players enjoy that fan base, capitalize off that fan base, and really want to put a show on for them, because they are a tremendous group of people. You know, there's more fans out there than we have people in our country, you know, which is crazy. So it's the biggest growing market for the NBA. So it's really a slippery slope when players discuss this.
We're talking to Matt Barnes. He's got a new video podcast starting on Showtime with Steven Jackson. It's called All the Smoke. And, you said Daryl Morey found out the hard way. I mean, LeBron James found out the hard way, too. And it's, I think, one thing that has certainly changed from being a professional athlete, let's say even 25 years ago. people will turn on you, and they'll turn on you fast. And I think the power of social media has got to be a staggering. It's a staggering thing for a radio host. I can't imagine what it would be like for an NBA player. And then I can't imagine what it would be like for one of the biggest stars, the most recognizable, marketable stars in the universe. And were you surprised by all of the backlash?
I was and I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, I was taken back a little bit because I think I understand where LeBron was coming from. I mean, he's much more, obviously, than an NBA player. I think kind of he's been the leader for athletes, not only NBA players, but athletes overall as far as, you know, addressing issues and kind of coming out like a knight in shiny armor. This situation went a little south, but I understand where he's coming from. You know what I mean? Outside of basketball and his brand, you know, Space Jam 2 was coming out. His sneaker situation.
Yep.
So there's a lot of different things that are going on in his life that I understand that he kind of needs to have that line of communication and still open, you know, even past his career. So, you know, like I said, I think it's an unfortunate situation, you know, when athletes speak on it. I'm glad guys haven't continued to do that. I think, you know, LeBron and James speaking is enough, and kind of just let, you know, the higher-ups handle this stuff.
Matt, a secret poll of GMs that came out yesterday said they picked the L.A. Clippers as their favorite to win the NBA title. Of course, you spent some time with the Clippers, a couple of stints, including three seasons this past decade. You've been with the Lakers. They're another one of the favorites, obviously, with Anthony Davis and LeBron. You finished your career with a few games with the Golden State Warriors in the middle of the era that they're in right now. I mean, how do you kind of break down who is the favorite after all the offseason movement that we've seen in the NBA?
I like the Clippers myself. I think personally the Clippers, you know, they established a culture over there with Doc and a team that had really bought in. They didn't really have any superstars, you know, made a great play to acquire two of the best two-way players in the game. And there's so much about, you know, obviously building teams on paper, and this team looks good, that team looks good, but chemistry is a huge thing. And, you know, it helps teams get over the hump. And I think that's what, you know, the Clippers have. Not to say that the Lakers don't have a tremendously talented roster and probably the best duo in the game, and they could be there right at the end, but I'm picking the Clippers for, you know, a solid foundation in coaching and management and ownership, and then great coach, and then a team that's bought in.
Matt, I was looking in the bio they send for the new show, For All the Smoke. It says that you accrued $414,276 worth of fines during your career. That's a lot of money. I mean, do you look
like
back
to have
that
now?
Money back?
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, was it? How much of that money? How much would you say of that 414 was worth it?
Zero. Zero. You know, my situation was, you know, I didn't have the typical start. You know, I had to scratch and claw my way into the NBA to kind of stay. And during that process, I developed a reputation, you know, which I earned. But, you know, over time, I tried to turn over a new leaf, so to speak. But, you know, once you develop a reputation, it's kind of hard to shake it. You know, so it was a reputation I helped throughout my career. And you know, some of it was reputation. Some of it was actually me crossing the line. But, you know, it was an amazing time. You know, it was a 14-year career that I wasn't supposed to have. It was a blast. I got to meet a lot of amazing people, do a lot of amazing things. And it's opened up a lot of doors for my post-career. So, you know, although it was a lot of money, I don't regret it, and I need to make it back now.
It's like an investment. You know, it's like, it's a lot of fines. But, hey, when a team comes calling and they want someone who's going to have their backs – their teammates, the first person's going to think, Matt Barnes, he's going to have my back out there. Let's sign him and put him on the team for a little bit. And then you make that money back, you know, in the back end.
Absolutely.
Well, Matt, good luck with the new show with Steven Jackson again from Showtime Productions. You can check it out. They can have it up on their YouTube channel. And I assume the sky's the limit when you're involved with a production like Showtime. You just never know how far something like that's going to go. So good luck to you, man.
Thank you. You can also find it at all streaming platforms that, you know, have podcasts. So we're going to be out and about. First show launches Monday. So thank you guys for having me.
Awesome, man.
All
the
smoke for jumping on,
with Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson. Just thinking about that. Fined over $400,000 in his NBA career.
Yep.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever been, well, certainly haven't been fined in any of my jobs. I'm trying to even think if I've been, like, chastised or disciplined at all.
I
find that hard to believe.
Yeah, right? I've been suspended without pay. That was fun.
What'd you do?
I mean, we don't have to talk about it. But I have been suspended.
Not here.
No, not here. Not here at 97.3 The Fan.
Good.
Not yet. Actually, my first go around with Entercom. I was kicked off the air for a day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was fun.
We can get that story off the air if you'd like.
Yeah.
Decide if we need to.
Yeah,
I mean, let in all the
when you
tier almost, ones on that story at some
when
point.
You to like strangle somebody that you work with in the boss's office, it never goes over well, apparently. So that's good. Anyway, welcome back, Paulie.
Thank you.
Good to have everybody back, like you said.
It is.
It's not the same without the entire cast of characters. It's fine. It's good.
Auto roll rates.
But, well, no,
we
you know
go.
What?
That's
never
what
mind.
We were
never
missing.
Mind.
That's
we
what
were missing
was,
that. And
you can't tell somebody, hey, make sure to play some funny drops sprinkled in throughout the show. They don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Adam relations. Adam did it like once.
Adam
was
did,
like
well,
floored.
He did it once, and then he wouldn't stop doing it, and then they didn't make any sense. So you can. Paul knows exactly when they need to be spliced in.
Thomas was a little more restrained.
Very reserved, which is fine.
He was here the final few days of
you
the
week.
You
don't want to like make waves or anything.
Yeah, no, you're not trying to start anything. You just want to come in, do your job, and go.
All right, big weekend. Now, Woods, you were in Mexico on Friday night.
I was. I missed the whole thrashing of Lord Baseball.
You missed that, and then you got back in time for the heartbreak.
Yeah,
so
the gut punch.
We'll certainly get you ready for Game 1 of the World Series. That's coming up. We also have an entire weekend of football to break down. Paul, you had you retweeted a good tweet this morning. About do you still have that one somewhere about the Chargers?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh boy,
I thought that
pretty
much
his chops.
Summed it up. Can you read that one for me?
Yeah, it says it's from Kevin Clark. The Chargers had like 700 fans at their last home game. Multiple players called for the in-stadium DJ to be fired, and they lost to a third-string quarterback. Then the next week, they lost in a more embarrassing way.
Yeah, it's shocking. It is shocking. Shocking. Shocking.
It really
shocking.
Is.
I was watching it live, going, I can't believe what I am seeing right now.
Our friend Lenny in La Mesa tweeted me and said the Chargers really, Dean did us a favor by making it so we don't have to suffer these brutal losses anymore.
It's the first thing I thought of is all of the people here like yourself that just would have been gutted this morning. Gutted!
And really, I was laughing again. We'll go over just the ridiculousness of the end of that game. It wasn't just bad for the Chargers, bad for the entire NFL. And much more. Get you wrapped up from the weekend in football. That is coming up next. Glad to have you with us up early with Tier 1s on a Monday morning here on 97.3 The Fan.
Tannehill motions Smith to the left. They go toss that way. Henry trying to turn it up. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's in the end zone standing up. Touchdown! Titan!
Just like I said, you run a toss play. Perfect.
Derek Henry, 11 yards to pay dirt, and the lead is 9.
When you think about it, Ryan Tannehill might be the best quarterback who's beaten the Chargers the past 3 weeks.
That is true.
Depends on what you really think of Joe Flacco in the year 2019. But Devlin McGregor, or whatever his name is.
Where does pay dirt come from? I've always liked it. I always liked that. Oh, look at
pay
that.
Pay dirt.
Yeah, he runs 11 yards to pay dirt.
That's a good question.
I have no idea. It just popped in my head. Where does the phrase pay dirt?
He's at the 5. He's in the end zone standing up. Touchdown! Titan!
Just like I said, you run a toss play. Perfect.
Derek Henry, 11 yards to pay dirt. And the lead is 9.
The area of the ground where you get paid. It works really well in football.
It kind of does in football, except it's grass, mostly.
There's dirt under the grass.
Yes,
well,
I guess.
Unless it's artificial turf.
I don't know where that comes from, but I like it.
Under there.
Pay dirt.
Maybe it's from gold mining or
possibly
something in the old days. If anyone knows, tweet us at Ben Woods.
I like where your head's at.
If you've got the etymology of the phrase pay dirt or the word pay dirt.
But I'll tell you, you're right. I mean, the teams and the players running those teams that the Chargers are losing to and the manners in which they are losing in has got, if I were a Charger fan, I would not turn on sports radio for what would be the cutoff, probably Wednesday. I think everybody will have moved on and they're talking about the Thursday night matchup for this week. I wouldn't listen to sports radio. There's just no chance.
I really wasn't planning on talking about the Chargers much, if at all, today. I kind of buried them last week. We talk about, you know, relevant NFL teams on this show, and the Chargers with their 2-4 record had become increasingly irrelevant in the NFL season. They're not going anywhere. Last week I went through the schedule remaining, and I told you why they really have almost no shot in getting back into it, because they get a lot of tough matchups still. There doesn't look like they're going to get particularly healthy. I know getting Hunter Henry back seemed to help a little bit offensively, but I just said this team is probably destined, doomed for a below 500 finish in 2019. But then, you know, an ending happens like the one yesterday, and it's hard to ignore because I was sitting there, and I would have been one of those people here in San Diego who was absolutely just devastated.
Gutted.
Heartbroken by the way the Chargers lost that game. And instead, I found myself kind of chuckling over the last, I don't know, how long the last, like that. Me and Joaquin chuckling away at the Chargers. Yesterday. The fact that you can have it ripped away, though, to give your team and your fans the elation of victory. When Austin Eckler, you know, crossed the goal line and the referee throws his hands up in the air and there's 40 seconds left, you figure, all right, I mean, it's pretty much over. You know, I don't think Ryan Tannehill's going to drive him down for a touchdown in 40 seconds, so we've won. But then they go to the replay. They look at it for 3 or 4 minutes, come back. Oh, he was just a half foot short.
Yep. So no problem, though.
Yeah.
Plenty of time.
So you got to run another play. Then you false start.
Yep.
Back 5 yards. Going, oh, they could lose this one. But then the next play, they get a lucky pass interference call in the end. So they're back at the one. I'm going, all right, they're gonna win this one. And lo and behold, they hand it to Melvin Gordon. Goes in. Referee raises his hands. Okay, now it's really over. Chargers have won this one. And then, of course, they go back to another 2 or 3 minutes of replay and show that, no, in fact, Melvin Gordon was down before getting to the goal line.
Yeah,
and,
no problem, though.
But still time left.
Yeah, you got time. You're good.
Still time left. You can still run another couple of plays. You still got the opportunity. And then they give it back to Melvin Gordon. This time, he definitely doesn't get in. And he fumbles.
Correct.
And Tennessee recovers. And that's the story. That's the ball game.
Will Brinson summed it up in a tweet very eloquently. It says, Chargers got to the 1 yard line and got 10 free seconds from Mike Vrabel, committed a false start, drew defensive pass interference, got a touchdown, had it reversed, ran the ball again, fumbled, and lost. The look of shock on their face. And look, man, you got to win that football game. You have to find a way to win that football game.
Basically, to save your season. You just had the unbelievable good fortune. With the bad fortune of the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday losing Patrick Mahomes. They could come back to the pack, could be vulnerable. You've been given a golden opportunity. A road win is sitting there for you to pluck that you were down 10 points in the fourth quarter, and it's sitting right there for you to steal and take home 1 yard away.
Well, not only that, but you had the incredible fortune of Mike Vrabel calling a quarterback sneak with Ryan Tannehill, who instead of going low, goes high. And they turned the ball over in phenomenal field position for you. Phillip Rivers did a great job getting them down there, made some big, big throws and some tight windows, got some help to get down to the one with ample, ample time, ample opportunity to get that job done. And I mean, you saw it nationally, all over the place. Trey Wingo, across the board, people were saying, I have never seen a team over the years that have found new and creative ways to lose like this team. Now, you want to talk about curses? You know, curses in my mind are real. They're absolutely real. This team is straight up cursed. There is no NFL team that should lose that football game. I don't care if it's the Bengals against the Patriots. I don't care who it is. From the one with that much time left, you should win that football game, period.
Tell you what, in my old days, I would, this morning, being called for a couple of things. First of all, stop handing the ball to Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
When you have Austin Eckler. And this isn't just me. I still follow some of the accounts of those Chargers fans who still back the team and still analyze it, the bolts from the blue type stuff. And they're all saying the same thing. I mean, it seems plainly obvious that every handoff to Melvin Gordon is a wasted opportunity when better things happen when you give the ball to Austin Eckler.
Clearly, catching the ball out of the backfield, running the football. Now, Austin Eckler's had – what was the stat I saw? They have fumbled inside the red zone
five times or something? Three times on goal to go.
And Eckler's been one of
them.
Eckler's
not immune to fumble problems as well.
Yeah, it's not some guarantee that if you hand that to Eckler, that pops in.
But in general, he just seems to have better elusiveness.
Yes.
Gets more yardage out of each play, better vision, runs better. I mean, he's terrific catching the ball out of the backfield.
Phenomenal.
He's turning into like a wide receiver option for the Chargers out there. The second thing I would say is I would seriously be questioning the head coach at this point.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought Anthony Lynn, given the circumstances of the lack of home field advantage, you know, the move, the tumultuousness of the entire organization, has done a fairly decent job. I mean, got him to 12 wins last year, got him a road win in the playoffs.
That's really good, yeah.
You know, that's quite an improvement over the previous couple of coaches and Mike McCoy and Norv Turner. But I did not like what I heard, especially yesterday after the game. Here's the quote from Hunter Henry. He said, "On the field, we won it twice. We scored twice with 20 seconds left in the game. They call a touchdown on the field. I looked at the sideline a few times like, that's the game. To have that happen toward the end, one of the craziest games I've been in." Well, right there is one of the reasons why the Chargers lost the game. You didn't win the game on the field. Now, maybe the officials made a mistake, but you can't really allow yourself to think that it's all over.
The guys in the broadcast said they made the right call, because if you call it a touchdown initially, then you can go and review.
Then you get the review, which is actually, that's the way to do it. Yeah,
That just tells me, though, that mentally, a guy at least like Hunter Henry let down a little bit, thinking, oh, game's over, we won. You can never, until the clock says zero, you cannot let down. When there's instant replay, when something can change, you can't mentally just say, oh, we won. It's over. That changes your intensity completely. A coach has to have his players focused all 60 minutes. And I know that sounds like a cliche, but I really feel like the Chargers let the officiating get to them in that last minute. The fact that they had to do it a couple of times almost looked like they let Tennessee take all the momentum. It shouldn't be that hard to score from 1 yard out. I mean, the Chargers did it earlier in the game. They ended up with a wide open, I mean, the easiest toss ever from Phillip Rivers to Melvin Gordon, because they ran a little misdirection. It was a good play. They executed it well. It wasn't hard at all. But then when the pressure was on, well, it all changed. And that seems to be what happens to the L.A. Chargers, and happened to the San Diego Chargers before that. When the pressure gets on, they just seem to crumble.
They absolutely do. I did really like the quote from Joey Bosa after the game. So that's Hunter Henry's perspective, right? And Anthony Lynn, even his, he said he was speechless. Like, I don't know how to explain what just happened. That's kind of your job, number one. But Joey Bosa was the one that stood out to me, Benny. He said, quote, "I'm going to come in and work my ass off for the rest of the season. I can't control anybody else. I know we have a lot of guys that want to win. We'll see who's with me on Monday. You can find out who wants it pretty quick after a game like that." And I wonder, will this get to the point? So think about all the things working against them. So they show up to a home game. They're 700 fans. The entire stadium is in the other team's color. They have to go to a silent count a lot of the times at their own home field. They're playing like crap. Are we going to get to the point where guys like Joey Bosa say, "Get me out of here. I'm done. Where, you know, they just start unloading? Because, look, the one thing we do know is that Chargers window is very, very thinly opened at this point. Phillip Rivers is not going to get any younger. They still have really talented players on that team. But when you move into Kroenke world, you thought you were going to make a splash, and last year you kind of did, but you haven't done anything to win over those fans in L.A. Why would you want to play there? Why in what universe would you say, yeah, this is the organization I'm committed to? I mean, is there going to be a coup like there has been with the Dolphins?
Well, I mean, until this last year, I mean, the Clippers are the example. No free agents really ever seriously considered the Los Angeles Clippers. No one wanted to play in the shadow of the Lakers.
Yeah.
It took a new multi-billionaire owner, the Lakers being down for a few years, and quite honestly, a personality like Kawhi Leonard that is a different sort, to make the Clippers finally a major player in the free agent market. Tell me, which NFL players want to go and play and be the road team for all of their 16 games?
Nobody. Nobody.
Joey Bosa, I think, is going to be gone. And there's more and more talk. I saw some people tweeting about it yesterday, some talking heads, that Phillip Rivers won't be back next year either.
Yeah.
That if he's smart, that he will be gone. If he wants to play again, he'll go find another team for his last couple, you know, Peyton Manning style,
yeah,
in Denver, and find somewhere else that gives him an opportunity the last couple of years. He doesn't owe the Chargers anything at all.
No.
They owe him, if anything, for the amount of time he's been loyal. Didn't say word one when they moved to L.A. And you know, he was the last one who wanted to move. He still lives down here. Didn't say word one. He's been a good soldier this entire time. And what have they done? They've let him down. In terms of constructing a roster, putting together a coaching staff around him, giving him a good environment to play in. Haven't done any of that, and he's continued to plug along this whole time. So I saw some people suggest, yeah, why don't you go somewhere else? And if the Chargers decide to franchise tag, just retire.
Yeah,
you've done it. You know you're not going to win.
I think they would be willing to move on from him at this point. I really do.
Do you think the Chargers would trade him this year?
No.
Get something for him?
Nope. Which they should, but they won't.
Melvin Gordon?
They would. They should.
Who would take him?
Yeah, I don't know what you'd offer for Melvin Gordon's
last
half of a season.
A seven?
You need a third string running back?
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than nothing, though.
Yeah, you take a seven, six.
As most people were tweeting yesterday, Chargers win that game if Melvin Gordon is still holding out.
No question about it. People were saying, hey, could you go and hold out again? Like, you should have stayed, held out. Speaking of that, let's get this going.
I
missed it too, Paul. I missed you missing it.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Stop. Hammer time.
Well, it's that time of the morning when we invite in our assistant producer, Hammer, to change the subject, basically. Whatever we're talking. Kind of glad today.
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Enough Chargers talk for me. I don't know. We'll get back to it or not at any point this morning, but had to say something, obviously, when they lose like that.
Well, I mean, hell, if it was, if it was a Bengals-Titans game and it lost like that, I'm sure we'd be talking about it as well.
For
it
sure.
You get that extra little juice because it's the Chargers.
It was the weird ending of the day in the NFL.
There's no doubt.
Oh, by the way, an update quickly. Sorry, Hammer.
It's all good.
King Pouncey tweeting in, pay dirt. North American ground containing ore in sufficient quantity to be profitably extracted.
Pay dirt, so, baby.
Yeah, like mining.
Mining. I
all
love
the
it.
Way to the pay dirt.
Pay dirt.
All right, Hammer, what's on your mind this morning?
Bring me some pay dirt, Hammer.
So I was thinking of karma. I don't really understand karma and like when you can cash in on karma. So I have this friend, going to name nameless. And so they served some pretty serious time. They about like 8 years.
Whoa, okay.
They were locked up. Got out and has been like living the best life.
Clean
like,
life.
Super clean. It's been going on for about 3 years now. And she does public transportation. She's on the bus and she finds this wallet. And it's got a bunch of money in it.
Ooh.
And she turns the money in. And she tells me this story. And I'm like, what are you doing? Your karma has built up to the fact that you were able to find a wallet with hundreds of dollars in it. Shouldn't you be able to cash in right then and there? Like, yo, because she's been living a clean life. She's been killing it. Right there, no one notices. Like, she can turn in the wallet, grab the $300.
Right.
No big deal, but she turned the wallet in 100%, and I thought her good karma was the $300 she could have just easily picked up.
Her karma will remain good because she turned in that wallet with $300 in it. I've always felt like that's how karma works. I feel like that was a test.
Like you're still building up for something better than $300?
Absolutely. $300 is nothing. Now, if you're talking $1 million in a bag, all right, maybe you take your shot there, but for $300 to eradicate or wipe out all of the karma you've built up, that's bad karma.
Now, if I'm the person who lost the wallet,
I give her a taste.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, can you think about all the inconveniences that go into
worst.
Having to replace what's in your wallet?
And it's not just the money. It's actually the
oh, it's the least
it's
of
the
it.
Least
it's
stuff.
Driver's license, credit cards, things like that. It's like, I'd probably give you at least half.
Yeah, at least.
Just as a finder's fee for returning the wallet.
And her thing was, she didn't even give it back to the person that had it. Like, for me, I get that. Like, all right, you keep onto the wallet because then you have the driver's license. You can somehow find it.
Find that
you got
person.
The address.
Yeah, Facebook it.
Something like that. She just gave it to the bus driver. Like, yo, if this person comes back on. And then I'm like, all right, that bus driver is going to take the money now.
But see, she wipes her hands of it. She wipes her hands. And I don't know. I mean, Karma's a weird thing. The guy I always go to when I think about karma is Tiger Woods. And I don't know why I do. Tiger Woods was literally playing the best golf on the planet, Ben, when he was living the worst life off the course. He couldn't have been a sketchier character. But when he got on the golf course, what happened? Lights out. Nobody better. And then you think, well, man, like, How does that happen? He's living a terrible life, and he's rising these new heights. But then, Hammer, karma got him. When he got popped, karma got him, and he went into an absolute tailspin. So it's weird, like how it works. I've always heard that you don't get the karma until your next life, if you believe in next lives. I heard karma doesn't work that way in this life.
I hope that's not true, because I feel really bad for my next life. Because that sucks.
Because you've lived a terrible life. Your next life's going to be even worse. Life.
There's just some things that I'm like, oh, man, that's really going to hurt me next life.
You got plenty of time to make up for it.
I do think about karma a lot, though. Ben, are you a karma guy?
Well, I don't believe it as a magical force, but I do believe that if you act in a positive way, good things will tend to flow from you because, well, that you're just that kind of person. You know, people will want to help you. You help other people, they will want to help you on the way back.
It's hard, though, because you can't, when you help someone, you can't expect anything in return.
No.
That's one thing I've learned over 44 years is that you can't think, oh, man, I really took care of this guy. And he's going to have my back always. Doesn't work that way. And it's hard. I wrestle with that a lot of like, maybe I should just be a jerk. Like a lot of people that I know that I was friends with, they're just jerks. And I'm like, maybe I should just be a jerk. And then I think, nah, man, don't change who you are expecting a result from somebody
There's
else.
There's definitely some people that deserve to be jerks too, though.
Correct.
I believe that not everybody deserves the same behavior because some people just don't deserve nice.
That's exactly right.
That's been just kind of a little seed in my brain during this conversation. Were you friends with this person before they went in for the 8 years?
No, okay. I met him after, yeah. Okay. We were part of the same program, so we started talking, and I was like, whoa. And we became really good friends.
Did you say it was a girl?
Yeah.
Wow. It's hardcore.
Her story's unbelievable.
Really?
I can't tell it. It's
right.
Crazy.
It's anonymous.
Yeah.
Her
name's Nameless. That's
her name is
name.
Nameless. Yeah. It's 8 years, though. That's hardcore. No, I think she absolutely 100% unequivocally did the best thing that she could do. You know, I really do. And even if she was struggling, riding the bus, giving that $300 back, I think it'll come back to her in spades. I really do.
I felt like such a bad friend, too. I'm like, why didn't you steal the money?
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, oh, it's, you know.
You're on a new path.
Yeah, you're on a new path. And you've got to stick to that path. All right?
Makes sense? Because once you steer off, I know how it is.
$300 could have been dangerous for her.
Stop. Hammer time.
Hammer, thank you for your contributions this morning.
Very
ethical
deep.
Ethical dilemmas.
Very, very deep.
Yes. I'm a deep guy.
Karma
you
and
are.
Morals. Big topics for Monday morning before 6 a.m. big topics ahead include the World Series and the end of the American League Championship Series. Woods' Yankees go down. Was the season a failure, as Aaron Judge says it was? We'll get to all of that coming up. Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.